Ding, ding. I'm going to take my muzzle off. So, all right. It's good to see you this morning. Whoa, we got a few people here. There's people in church. That makes it church. All right. Well, glad to see you this morning. And we're going to sing a couple of songs together this morning. And I got to find what song we're singing. I've got them here somewhere. Page number 339. Page 339. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's stand and sing, if you will. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
Offered unto you, hallelujah, eternal life, your soul.
seat if you will. I just noticed the third time we sang through that song that the chorus is written different than the way I'm used to singing it. The first line says, look and live, oh, will you live? The old song used to break, look and live, my brother, look and live. How many sang it the wrong way? I mean, even looked at the words. Oh, boy. Sometimes they change the words in different hymnals. But all right. But thank God we have a Bible that never changes. The Bible is written by God. These songs are written by men that walk with God. But thank God for the Word of God that does not change. If you weren't here earlier, make sure your Wi-Fi is turned off on your phone. That just makes it better for when we live stream. I want to mention a couple of things by way of announcements. And I'll say this, I've got some more announcements at the close of the service after we turn off the live streaming just for you that are here today. So don't leave right away. I know the last amen, everybody bolts for the no. that's not the way it is around here. It's the way it is some places, but we got some more announcements later. But I want to mention that this week, in fact, yesterday was, if I get the days right here, I forget which day is which. I don't know if it's this week. Yesterday was Lorraine Kilby's 90th birthday. I wish we could have had a party for her. I was able to go see them yesterday, and today is their anniversary. Is it 68 years, could we figure out? 68 years together. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. And I had a wonderful visit with them and their daughter yesterday as Chip spent the last week in the hospital in Chicago and came home with a, as he said, a new timepiece, a new ticker. He said, you want to take a picture and show it to everybody? No, that's all right. But he had a pacemaker put in on, let me think, what day was it? Isn't it crazy? Every day's the same. I don't know what day of the week it is. I think it was Thursday he had that put in and came home. Thursday he had it put in and came home Friday evening. I went to see him yesterday, which was Saturday. The days of the week are still the same. We're just messed up. Forget what order they're even in anymore. But had a wonderful visit. And just pray for them. And they're having a rough time just being away from church, as is everybody, having a rough time. Church is essential for a child of God. And more essential than Walmart. More essential Job said, I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Now, that's hard for a teenager to say, right, guys? But that's how we ought to live. That's the most important thing. Man shall live not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, Jesus said. And this is where we hear the preaching of the Word of God. And let's see, this afternoon, you can see the table here. If you're here, we do a walk-by shower. Otherwise, it's a drive-by shower. I just want to say a drive-by shooting. No, it's a drive-by shower. you almost unnaturally say that, don't you? What were the Hickses? It might be. But praise the Lord for a little Emma. Ellie. Ellie. Ellie May. Yeah, I don't remember the names for the first month or two. And then after a while, I catch on. In our own grandkids. Now, what's their name? Usually with our grandkids, after I see them, which sometimes is a while after they're born, then the name finally clicks. But for some reason, I hear the name, yeah, whatever. But when you actually see them, it just takes me a while to remember things. I forget my own name sometimes. All right, let's see. And the offering, we won't be passing the offering plate, but the offering basket plate, whatever it is up here. Just drop by before or after the service. That'd be fine. And again, we'll go over some things after the service this morning. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And remember, especially again, Chet and Lorraine, Dorothy Noble, Mabel Johns, and Carly, Jane Miles' granddaughter. There's a very serious needs there, physical needs. Remember her in prayer. We've been praying for her and others that, of course, their age are not able to be here. Pray for Isabel. She wanted to make sure that nobody thought ill of her because she's not in church. And I told her, you stay home. People like her need to be careful about this thing. Of course, I told Rex and Linda that too, but they're rebels. So, all right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Your mercies are new every morning, and great
is your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for being so good to us. And Lord, for the freedom that we have in this country, and though we see it more and more being infringed upon, and folks turning from our God, and in effect turning from the liberty that we have that's God-given to this great land. And we pray for our country today. Thank you for this special holiday weekend. And Lord, I pray that as we remember those that have fallen on the battlefields to give us freedom today, Lord, that we would not forget the price that they paid, that we can meet in a place like this. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus who saves us and gives us true liberty in Christ, gives us the ability to walk with you and to fellowship with you. And Lord, I pray that through this crisis that you would humble each of us, that we would truly call upon you and realize our dependence upon you, not only as a nation, but as a church, as individuals, as families, Lord, that we would grow in our relationship with you and our trust and faith and confidence in you. Lord, we pray for this crisis that we're in. Lord, you know all about it. You're the one that's in control of all things. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, some trust in the works of man, but we remember the name of the Lord our God, and we're trusting in you, the great physician, the creator of and sustainer of all life. And Lord, we are just trusting and dependence upon you and trying to encourage others to learn of you and to walk with you. Pray that you would bless those that are in need today physically. I think especially of Brother Chet and the elderly folks that we want to be sure that they're safe through this crisis. And I think of our shut-ins. I think of Dorothy and Mabel. And I think of those that have recently gone through graduations and the birth of a little baby and a wedding coming up in our church. And Lord, we just pray your blessing and will to be done through these events that in this time that we live and how unique they are and how we need to make adjustments and changes. And we certainly pray that you give us wisdom as far as meeting as a church and ministering to those in need around us. Though people are on lockdown, so to speak, there are still many needs. And I pray that you give us wisdom in reaching out and meeting those needs. And of course, the greatest need is for those who don't know Christ to trust him as their Savior. And God, as we worship you today, I pray that you would work in each of our hearts and lives now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have the guys come and sing this morning. I think the quartet added a member, so they are actually a quartet today. All right.
Land of the free, sweet home of liberty, but it came at such a great price. Our soldiers, brave and true, gave their lives for me and you. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. Blood bought my freedom, someone had to die. Someone freely took my place. Blood was the price, the supreme sacrifice. Someone died that we might be free. Over the sea, on an old rugged tree, a battle was won long ago. It'll never be fought again. We have victory over sin. Thank God for Mount Calvary. Blood bought my freedom. Someone had to die. Someone freely took my place. Blood was the price, the supreme sacrifice. Someone died that we might be free. Lord, my freedom, someone had to die. Someone freely took my place. Blood was the price, the suffering sacrifice. Someone died that we might be free. Jesus died that we might be free. We're a nation built on freedom.
For those songs. That was a blessing. Can I move this out of the way? We on? Okay. All right. Well, this is Memorial Day weekend, or Decoration Day. I know a lot of people, this is a day of picnics and outdoor activities. Some people, it's the start of summer, but it is a special day to Americans. We'll talk more about that tonight. I'm not going to look at that subject this morning, but this evening's message will be focused on that. But I want to address
this morning. I'm so glad to have some people here. If I'm not just looking at a camera, I don't like making these videos, but it's kind of a necessity. I've been reading this week, and I wanted to have a whole message on this, but I won't take time to do it. But I'd encourage you to look it up. You can Google it. That always sounds like a dance when you say that. Google it. But you can look it up yourself. You can find the information very readily today. The year of 1816 is remembered in history as the year with no summer. But this year, summer is canceled, seems like. There's a year of no summer, and I know this kind of throws a monkey wrench in all the global warming conspiracy theories, that the temperature of the earth dropped a couple of degrees for that whole year, the worldwide temperature. There was no summer harvest. Some remember it not as a year of no summer, but the year of fasting and of famine and starvation. And in the middle of the summer, here in this part of the country, there were heavy frosts in the evening. You can imagine there are no crops planted, nothing harvested. And people starving, not only here, but all over the world. And there was a resulting of a couple of volcano activities that God just wanted to remind us of something. In fact, if you think of that year 1816, that was shortly after America gained their independence. We think of 1776, well, that's when the Revolutionary War started. It wasn't over till about the year 1816. In fact, it's referred to as the Second Revolutionary War, the War of 1812. You don't know much about that war, but it's a fascinating war to study about, and we were in danger of losing everything that we've gained in the Revolutionary War. And our Star-Spangled Banner came from the War of 1812. And in 1816, finally, we have become a free nation. And I believe God was speaking to America that would become the gospel lighthouse of the world to remind us that we have gained independence from man, but we still are dependent upon God. By the way, that's a good message for us today. We get that mentality. We don't have to listen to anybody but God. We don't have to listen to anybody, and we even get to where we don't have to think we don't have to listen to God. And then almost exactly 100 years later, the year 1918, after the war that ended all wars. Again, reminder from God. There's more than wars you have to worry about, bubs. When we had the mentality, Christians had the mentality, we're ushering in the kingdom of God. This is the millennium. Those of us in the hippie generation called it the age of Aquarius. We're living in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our king. And God said, no, not the Jesus you're talking about. God sent what we remember in history as the Spanish flu to America to bring us to our knees again. And then now, of course, another 100 years later. This is a 100-year activity. I think it's a message from God. I have no question about that. That it's a message from God to God's people, and we'd be good to listen to it. The year 2020. The COVID-19. You know, we can get wrapped up in our own ideas and our own philosophies, and our world's crying out today that science has the answer. We don't need God. We've got science. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And so many Christians have turned their back on God and trusting in man's science. Now, keep in mind that science is also telling us that there is no God, that we've proven that we were created just by chance or just evolved by chance. This same science can't predict the weather tomorrow, but they're telling us that the world's going to come to an end in the next 10 years. This same science can't tell the difference between a male and a female. And that's the science that we're trusting in today. I've got a God in heaven that's bigger than any man-made science. And by the way, I'm not interested in any of your conspiracy theories. In fact, you'd be good to shut all that off and not waste your time even listening to them. It's like, in reality, what I see going on in our world today, when you get concerned about and share your conspiracy theories and this idea and this guy saying this, it's like examining a tree or a fruit off of a tree. You're only looking at that little fruit or that little leaf. totally ignoring the entire tree and totally ignoring the whole forest. I want to broaden your view today a little bit. I don't believe in most of the news statistics, what's called news, and the way they twist statistics. I've known that all my life. And this is no different. It's just become more obvious in what's going on. But with that said, I want to say this, that I believe that this virus is real. It is a threat. We ought to be concerned about it. We can say, well, I just don't believe in all that stuff. You better be concerned about it, because it is real. Now, I don't believe all the stuff that's being pushed upon us, but it is something we ought to take seriously. And I would say this also, I mentioned this last week at our driving service, don't be critical to folks that don't feel comfortable coming to church. Don't think you're more spiritual than they are, because you're here and they're not here. Now, I believe in church, and we're going to get to that. I need to hurry up before I get my message this morning. But there is a conspiracy I want to mention that's bigger than you and I will ever see. And that's the only one I'm concerned about. It's bigger than anything you're ever going to read about online or on Facebook or whatever fool's book, whatever you want to call it. And it's been going on since the fall of Lucifer from heaven. It's going to culminate in the coming of the Antichrist. What we're seeing today is, again, just a very minute thing, and we get so focused on that little thing that we've lost sight of reality in many sense. This conspiracy is led by the devil. He's also referred to as Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the world, the god of this world. He is a liar and the father of all lies, Jesus said. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the ruler of the darkness of this world, the man Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, the great dragon, the old serpent, the angel of the bottomless pit, Abaddon, which is his Hebrew name, and Apollyon, which is Greek name. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And many have been held captive by his devices. He's the one that's in charge of this conspiracy. It's not whoever you want to pick is at the head. No, I'm not concerned about them. You can talk about him. It's a waste of breath. It's a waste of your good time when you ought to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and not be focused on all these silly little things that are coming up everywhere you look today. I started this year in our morning services in preaching some messages on biblical prophecy. And again, I studied biblical prophecy for years, and most of the things I study in Bible prophecy have nothing to do with the books that have been written in Bible. They have very little to do with Bible prophecy. But there's some good things studying, examining the fruit on a certain leaf or a leaf on a certain tree, but they're not focusing on things that are we ought to be focused on. Just so happens the week of our first quarantine service that I got a copy of a book that I read that week. It was actually published about 15 years ago. As I read that book, it helped me to better understand what's happening in our world today. In fact, it clearly, I just say this, it clearly defined and presented something that I've seen all my life as a Christian. But I've never seen it so clearly defined and presented. And I thought, boy, this would be go right along with the prophecy messages. But as I prayed about it and read about the book, I kept saying, Lord, this would be good if I could share it on Sunday morning, but if all the church could be in here on Sunday morning. Looks like God might answer that prayer. We might do that here in the next few weeks. Satan is marching our world into the battlefield towards Armageddon. He's been doing that from the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. It's nothing new. This battle that we're involved today, and it's a very real battle. It's not a physical. It's not a philosophical battle. It's not the liberals against the conservatives. It's not the Democrats against the Republicans. It's not however you want to, Fox News against whatever. I could care less for any of it. It's God against Satan. And they're battling for your soul, for my soul, for our children. And our country is just a small little token of this battle. And we get so focused on patriotism. This is a patriotic holiday. I understand that. And I'm as red, white, and blue as you can get, I suppose. But there's something much bigger than America. something much bigger than the COVID-19 virus that we ought to be focused on. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, I'll get to the message here in a little bit. I'm going to have you turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. That's on the next page, but I'll get there eventually. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's the battle we're concerned about. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 6, you're familiar with these verses, says, "Though we walk through the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, to every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." You say, "Well, what are you getting at, preacher?" Well, as for me and all, whatever happens in our world today is of little consequence. The events, the circumstances today, and the things that people are all concerned about is a little importance today. But I think of the words of Jesus Christ. Remember when he was a young man? By the way, 12, 13-year-old, you're a young man. I know in our world we call them teenagers, that they're just kind of wasted, ruined years. But you're a young man at that age. And Jesus left, as he came to worship in the temple, his family left. And they were gone a couple of days away before they realized that Jesus is not among us. He's not here with us. And they went back and found him in the temple, and he was teaching and conversing with the experts in religion. And they were amazed at his wisdom. Wouldn't that be good if it could be said of one of our young men today? They're amazed at the wisdom, the understanding of God that this young man had. Jesus answered to his parents, and they say, "Where were you, son? We didn't know what happened. We were concerned about you." And his response was, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Hey, mom and dad, there's something bigger than you and I. There's something far more important than you could ever begin to understand. And we must be about our Father's business. I think this is a good time to get back into the simple, basic Christianity. What a great time this is right now. That's not a discouraging time. This is a great time to be alive, because I believe the judgment of God's coming real soon. Jesus is about to come anytime. And if he doesn't return real soon, America is going to go through things that you and I could never have dreamed about. We're already seeing things in America that we would have never dreamed about when we were younger. And the judgment of God's fast on its heels. I'm praying that the Lord comes before that happens, but I don't know, and you don't know, and neither do the experts know. But I determine, as for me, I'm going to focus on what God focused on. I'm going to focus on getting the gospel out to as many people as I can. Focus on sharing the gospel with as many people as I can. I'm going to focus on this book like never before. I'm going to spend more time. The best thing you could do is shut your internet off and put your nose in this book. Hello? And get a hold of God in prayer. I'm going to focus on prayer. I'm going to pray like never before. I'm going to focus my life on my church, my local church, that I'm a member of the local body of Jesus Christ. That's the center of my being. You know, I listened to a message this week. A preacher, a friend of mine, was reading, and I know some of you saw it. He was reading a letter from a missionary to China that had been ministering for 15 years in communist China. And every day they go to church, and the people he's ministered for 15 years to, every service they attend, their life is in danger. Every time they share the gospel with somebody, their life is in danger. And he was just comparing that to what's going on in America. They're getting ready to come home from the mission field to be in America and say, we're leaving a communist country to go to a so-called Christian country where Christians are afraid to stand up and speak the Word of God. They're afraid to attend church, but our life was in danger every time we even spoke of Jesus Christ. We've gotten so soft and shallow in our Christianity today. But I'm going to go on from that. I got to get to my message here, okay? Before we get out of time. It's a great time to live for Jesus. It's a great time to put our sights back on God and His will, to recognize our sinfulness and to submit to His righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. This is a message in the time that I have left. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. And beginning in verse number 15. Of course, the book of Deuteronomy, the last of the first five books, the last of the Torah, the law, given from God through Moses, the first five books of the Bible. And Deuteronomy is, the word Deuteronomy means second law. It's a summary of everything that's been said in the first five books. And the conclusion of the whole thing, if you will. The first, when the Bible only consisted of five books at that particular time in history. And Paul didn't write the book of Deuteronomy. But Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy. He's getting to the end, the conclusion of that book, and he just reminds us of something that it'd be good for us to focus on today. The message is still good today. We're going to jump to the New Testament and see it again. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, and beginning in verse number 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, and His statutes, and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall utterly perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. What a great promise. And again, verse number 19, then we're going to leave this section of Scripture. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live. Now I want you to jump to the New Testament, Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. By the way, talking about simple Christianity, old-fashioned Christianity, old-fashioned church services. You know, in the old days, they didn't have nurseries. That little one's not a bother to me at all. In fact, it's a blessing to me, all right? The little one that doesn't, I don't know if she ever makes any noise. That's okay. We can put up with that. That's all right.
She's a girl. That'll change.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll change. She's a girl. Girls generally start talking by the time they're, 6 months old? They never stop, but boys just grunt and everything else. But Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 8. I want to read quite a long section here to get to what I want to look at. I want to start in Romans 1, but we won't do that. Verse number 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. That'd be a good verse for modern Christianity right there. Now, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things wherein ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants unto God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages, notice this verse, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin. Moses said, choose you, life or death. It's up to you. And the choice is repeated here in Romans chapter number 6. And this is the title of the message this morning. I told you I'd get to it eventually. The choice is clear. Life or death. That's your choice. Life or death. Not just for the lost person in need of salvation, but for Christians. The choice is clear. Life or death. I'm going to give you the look at the two choices very quickly. First of all, the wages of sin. The wages of sin. God's very clear and very obvious here. The wages of sin is death. I'm going to go back a little bit and look at the benefits, the lifestyle, the retirement plan of the wages. You understand what wages are? You go to work and you get wages. You get compensated for your labor that you put in. And by the way, we choose where we work or if we work. In fact, if you go back to verse number 16 of Romans 6, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, I know some folks say, well, I don't want to serve God. I don't want to serve anybody but myself. In serving yourself, you're serving the devil. You just don't know it. You're either a taskmaster for the devil, or you're a servant of Jesus Christ. It's one or the other. As a lost person, as a saved person. And of course, a lost person, when you leave the taskmaster and come to Jesus Christ, you no longer are under his bondmanship, but you now have the freedom of choice to live for God or to live for the devil. The wages of sin. First of all, the benefits of sin. And by the way, sin has a lot of benefits. There are pleasures for sin, but for a season, the book of Hebrews says. Moses understood the pleasures of sin for a season. You can enjoy sin for a while. A lot of folks are living in sin today and having a wonderful time, and we sometimes get envious. Oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could have that much fun. Well, they have a great deal of pleasure of sin, but it only lasts for a season. And that season is generally a lot shorter than they anticipated when it comes to an end. Those are the benefits of sin and the lifestyle of sin. Your take-home pay, so to speak. Your current conditions, what we live in, your benefits and your lifestyle of sin. The take-home pay is the violence, the addictions, the stubbornness, the rebellion, the self-righteousness, the seeds that we sow today that blossom in our children's lives. You know, I'm amazed when I look into the eyes of many people that I'd call them my peers, my age. And it makes me so grateful that I decided a long time ago I'm going to live for Jesus Christ and serve Him. And I see the wages that they've earned for their lifestyle. Though at time it was appealing to me, but I see now their wasted life that is filled with things but still empty. I see their ruined health, their squandered wealth. You know, so I've met people that are half my age that have made more money in their lifetime than I would make in three lifetimes. But they have absolutely nothing to show for it. Because they wasted it many times on drugs, many times in an immoral lifestyle. They've squandered their health, they've squandered their wealth, their life is wasted, yet it's filled with many things. And then, to think of this, their retirement plan. For eternity, they have hell to look forward to with the devil himself. Choose you this day whom you serve. The rewards, the final rewards of hell. Proverbs says it twice in Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16 that there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, of separation, of wasted lives. And of course, we think of that in the terms of a lost person, but what kind of rewards will I have in heaven as a Christian if I choose to live for myself and choose to focus on the things of this world rather than the things of God? What rewards will I... What kind of legacy will I leave behind? Where will my children be? What kind of life will my grandchildren live? Because I've chosen to live by my self-righteousness or for myself or in my addictions or in my own stubbornness. So I'm going to do it my way. And this is my life. Oh, I get so weary of hearing Christians say, this is my life. What am I going to do with my life? You got it all wrong, buddy. The very second you think that it's your life, you lost it. It's not my life. Never has been my life. Before I was saved, my life belonged to the devil. Lock, stock, and barrel. What's that mean? Never mind. What is that? Everything belonged to the devil. I just didn't know it. I thought I was living my life, but I was living to the devil. You know, I look back in my teen years when everybody's doing everything the same thing in the hippie days. Everybody's, I'm doing my own thing, man. This is my life. I'm going to do my own thing. Groovy and all those kind of things. And it's funny that they're all doing the same thing. But they're all saying that they're doing their own thing. Huh? But this is my... No, it's not your life. And the devil would like you to think nothing else. And, well, when I got saved, Jesus came, and now we're walking through the world together. And no, it's not... He's just tagging along with me. I want to be a servant of Him. It's not my life. It's His life. He's just let me live His life. He desires to live His life through me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we'll look at the second half. The wages of sin or the gift of God. I'm so glad God doesn't give me what I deserve. Again, there's another statement you hear. Like, oh, this is what I deserve. You hear advertisers say that all the time. Come to us. Come to our store. You'll get what you deserve. Or professional athletes. This is what I deserve. Or people think, well, I want the wages that I don't want what I deserve. I deserve eternity in hell. I don't deserve the air that I'm breathing right now. I don't deserve these legs that I can stand on. I don't deserve these hands that I can use for the glory of God. I don't deserve anything. I'm a nobody. I'm unworthy of God's grace. Look again at verse number 17 in Romans chapter number 6. Read these verses. Follow along as I read them. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin,
But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Thank God for that day. I don't believe a day goes by when I don't thank God for that day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. When He came into my life and transformed me in ways that I never dreamt would be possible, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. We're no longer bound by sin. We no longer have to live under those addictions, that mentality, that pride. We can escape from that through the grace of God. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were, I love that word, ye were servants of sin. Ye were free from righteousness. There was a time when the law didn't matter anything. It didn't matter to me. Righteousness and God is something we mock, but now that we're saved, we're freed from sin and living by grace. Now we're able to live the way God intended us to live all along. In verse number 20, what fruit had ye then of those things which ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The end of those things is nothing but death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants unto God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Think of the benefits that we have because of the gift of God. The benefits of knowing God and fellowshipping with Him. Oh, there's nothing greater in this world than fellowshipping with God, than talking to Him in prayer and hearing Him respond to you from the Word of God, and to know His presence in your life. It doesn't get any better than that. No matter what the world tells you, no matter what the devil whispers in your ears, if you just had this, you'd be happy. No, if you just have a close walk with Jesus Christ, you'll be happy. You'll live above your circumstances. And I just love to get alone with God this week. I just planned a couple of days I'm going to get alone with God. I was in a hurry to get things done so I can get alone with God. And I need to make a confession here, okay, especially the kids, that I'm always telling you to do something in the gym but not in the rest of the building. What is it? What do the kids tell me? Not to run in the building, but you run in the gym. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay, I was in a hurry early Wednesday morning to get things done because I was going to go for a trip into the wilderness to get alone with God. I just tell people because they wouldn't understand what I really go for. I'm going on a hiking, fishing, camping, kayaking trip, but really I'm going to get alone with God. But I was in a hurry to get everything done, so I had to get some things done here at the building early in the morning. I'm running through the building, and all of a sudden, last Sunday we had an outside service, and because it was wet when we brought everything in, I thought, I'm just going to leave it laying around the building, and I forgot where I laid things around the building. And I came running around the corner and found a ladder that's not supposed to be there. But I found it running full speed, my wife was in the other part of the building. She thought a semi-truck ran through the building when that made that noise. And I thought I got hit by that truck when it happened. I got bruises all over me. I think I probably cracked some ribs, but I don't go to the doctor because they're going to do the same thing I do, just take it easy for a while. Well, I'll shorten my trip a little bit. Didn't do as much as I wanted to do on the trip, but I still went. I can't miss this. I got to get along with God. Still caught over my limit of fish, so I'm all right. I had a great time praying and talking to the God. It only hurts now when I breathe or move, so we're all right. It's okay. It's all good. So, kids, don't run in the building, all right? I'm warning you, don't do like your pastor does. But it was a wonderful time, and I just need to sometimes get alone with God. Just go apart somewhere and get alone and talk to God. As Jesus went apart into the wilderness once in a while. I know some folks don't understand that, but that's just, I need that time alone with God. And I'm thankful for those benefits that we can hear from God. He said, weren't you scared? Weren't you alone? No, I don't have to get scared. I got God with me. Yeah, a thing to worry about. Think of the lifestyle, the blessing. I can't think of a greater joy. In fact, John says in the book of
I think it's 3 John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. The greatest blessing in my life is to know that my children are doing right. My greatest fear in life is that my children will be good but not spiritual. That is my greatest fear in life. It has been since God saved me. When God gave, that was before I had children. And I want my children not to be good, but to be godly. I'm grateful for children that are walking with God. And I'm so thankful. I don't tell them I'm proud of them. I tell them I'm thankful for them. We've got too much pride already. Grateful for the lifestyle, the blessings that God gives to us by His grace. I don't deserve any of this. It's all His grace. And just allowing His grace to work in me. Galatians chapter number 5 talks about the benefits. So we call them the fruits. Or the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The blessings of walking with God. The fruit of the Spirit is love or charity. Selfishly giving, selflessly giving, expecting nothing in return. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, rejoicing, no matter what your circumstances are. We don't have to be down when it's raining. We don't have to be down when it's sick. We don't have to be discouraged when things are going against us. It's a time to be joyful. That's the joy of the Lord. That's a fruit. That's a blessing that God gives. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. It doesn't matter what the peace of God is, not the absence of conflicts, but calmness in the midst of those conflicts. Jesus brings you through those storms and you're as calm as can be. You're fine as long as you're walking with Him. Those are the fruit of the Spirit, the blessings, the benefits of walking with Him. And He goes on to list in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, the long-suffering. That's just faithfully doing what we ought to do. Don't matter what consequence, doesn't matter if I'm sick or well or down or up, I'm just going to faithfully do what I ought to do. Those are the blessings of walking with God. The next one on the list is gentleness. That word is also translated throughout the Bible as kindness, being gentle, compassionate to others. Sometimes Christians can be the harshest and the rudest people on earth. Amen? There's no reason for that. We've got to be kind. We've got to be gentle, compassionate to others. And then the next fruit of the Spirit is the goodness, the virtue or moral purity is our goodness. I'm so thankful that God's blessed me with a good home where morality and purity is something that's very real, not just something that's talked about in faith, believing and trusting in the impossibilities of life, and meekness. Boy, there's something we're missing today. Meekness. So much pride in our world today. So much pride in my life. God, I don't want that pride. And temperance. I know many people define that as self-control. And really, biblical temperance is spirit control. Then God, I can't control my actions. I can't control my thoughts. I can't control my behavior. I need You to do that for me. I need to die to my flesh that I might live and to be spirit controlled. Those are the lifestyle benefits of walking in His grace. And then not even to mention the best part of all is God's retirement plan in heaven, where our treasures are laid up. That place that we long for. God's retirement home is in heaven. Amen. I just want to keep going as long as I can because I know the day's coming that I'm going to leave this world and go into His presence. That's how I'm going to keep my body going. And I mean, I'm just, no matter if I'm bruised up, banged up, I'm just going to keep going for God and doing what I can for God until that time says, God says, okay, come on home. Yes, sir. I'll be glad to. And I leave Mount Pisgah's lofty height. The Bible talks about that sweet hour of prayer. When I leave the presence of this world to go into the presence of Jesus Christ. And my life is transformed. I no longer struggle against that sin nature. Oh, what a place we have prepared for us. And I'm going to say this. At the moment I got saved, and I can remember this as clear as can be,
Which I think about it about every day of my life. And thank God every day of my life at least a couple of times a day. I got saved for one reason, because I wanted to go to heaven instead of hell when I die. That's the only thing I was thinking about. The only thing that entered my mind. I had no idea at the moment I got saved how God was going to transform this heart of mine. And how God was going to change my life today. But it's been a wonderful ride. And every day I'm asking Him to change me more like Him. To transform. I'm asking Him to show me how I can die to my flesh and die to myself, that I might live in Him, in His grace. The choices are, the line's been drawn in the sand. The battle's been raging since the beginning of time. Well, not since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the fall of Satan from heaven before Adam fell. The line's been drawn. I'm going to choose to be on God's side instead of a man's side. I'm going to choose Him as my Savior. I'm going to choose Him as my Lord and Master today. I'm going to be in this book like never before. I'm going to share the love of Christ with others around me, both by my words, my actions, by my testimony. I'm going to be in church and center my life around my church, not because I'm the pastor, but because this is the place where God meets with His people. And I want to give my life to prayer and devotion and love to Him and serving others. If you're here this morning and never trusted Christ as your Savior, I beg with you, plead with you, today, trust Him as your Savior. You'll not regret it in eternity. You'll not regret it today. You give your life to Him today. There's eternal rewards. There's a great retirement plan, but there are many benefits today in walking with Him and serving Him. Father, we pray that You would bless Your people that are gathered here today. Bless those that may be listening that are not among us here this morning. And God, I pray that if there's any that are listening that have never trusted You as their Savior, God, that this would be the day that they would humble themselves and call upon You for salvation. And God, for those that claim the blood of Christ for their salvation, Lord, we're thankful for the hope that we have of heaven. I pray that You would teach us the value of walking with You today and walking in the Spirit, to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit today in this present time. Bless in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a traditional invitation, but we are going to close with a chorus today. You know the words of the chorus. I'm sure it's not in your hymnal, so don't bother getting that out. And I'm going to sing the verse and the chorus. You join me in the chorus. If you know the verse, you can sing it with me as well. On God's holy word I challenge you to give to the Lord your life anew. My friend, make your choice, He waits for you, for this is a moment of truth. Now walk with God, and He will be your dearest friend. Off back there. Just a minute. Watch this.